Highbridge Audio presents I Thought You Were Dead, a love story, a novel by Pete Nelson, read by Josh Clark, for Jen and Jack. Part 1, Winter Spring. Individual heart cells beat at their own rate when separated from one another, a phenomenon easily observed beneath a microscope. It has long been known that when they are pushed together, they will synchronize their pulses. Recent studies have shown, however, that heart cells begin to synchronize slightly before they touch. It is not known how they signal across this distance. Some scientists speculate that this method of communication may be able to cross great distances and may explain how social animals bond, or how pets seem to sense when their masters are coming home, or even how people fall in love, one heart calling to another. Paul Gustafson, Nature for Morons. Chapter 1. Two of Them Going Nowhere. In the winter of 1998, at the close of the 20th century, in a small college town on the Connecticut River, on the sidewalk outside a house close enough to the railroad tracks that the pictures on the walls were in constant need of straightening, not that anybody ever straightened them, Paul Gustafson, having had a bit too much to drink, took the glove off his right hand, wedged it into his left armpit, and fumbled in his pants pocket for his house keys. The snow was coming down hard, which meant the plows would be rumbling all night, clearing the roads. It was early March. Paul would have to shovel in the morning, a favor he did for his landlady, who lived upstairs and hadn't raised the rent in years, in part because of the kindnesses he'd done her. His go-getter neighbor would already have finished snowblowing his own drive, salting it, sanding it, probably drying it with a hairdryer, before Paul got out of bed. Paul didn't mind shoveling, even though he'd shoveled enough snow as a kid growing up in Minneapolis to last a lifetime. He had to be at the airport by noon to catch his flight back to the Twin Cities, a flight that might not have been necessary had he been more on the ball. Some days were better than others. "I'm home," Paul said, letting himself in and closing the door to keep out the cold. "I thought you were dead," the dog said. Her name was Stella, and she was a mixed breed, half German Shepherd and half Yellow Labrador, but favoring the latter in appearance. Fortunately, she'd also gotten her personality from the Labrador side of the family, taking from the Germans only a certain congenital neatness and a strong sense of protectiveness, though since she was the Omega dog in her litter, it only meant she frequently felt put upon. "Once again, I'm not dead." "Joy unbounded," she said dryly. Stella had no sense of permanence and therefore assumed Paul was dead whenever he was out of sight, hearing, or smell. "How was your night?" "I went to the Bay State and heard the blues," Paul said. His head swam as he bent over to scratch her behind the ear, jingling her collar. "Do you realize you're only slightly less routinized than a cat?" "No need to insult. Do you want to go for a walk or what?"
"A walk? Yes. I think a walk would be nice. Is it cold out? I don't want to go if the weather's bad."
"There's no such thing as bad weather," he told her. "Just bad clothes." She could still walk to the door, though sometimes Paul had to lift up her hind end to help her get off her dog bed. Usually, he took the dog with him wherever he went, but tonight he'd left her home because of the weather. They lived in an apartment on the ground floor of a double-decker between the railroad tracks and the cemetery in Northampton, a small college town in western Massachusetts. Stella paused on the front porch, gazing apprehensively at the snow, then took a cautious step forward.
"Hold it," Paul said, picking her up and carrying her down the three concrete steps to the sidewalk.
He'd built a ramp for her to walk up, made from an old door with carpet squares nailed to it, but walking down the ramp was difficult for her. He set her down, gently. She walked ahead of him, sniffing at the Slowoski's bushes and at the house next door to that, and in all the places where she'd stopped and sniffed every night for the 7 years they'd lived there. She stumbled occasionally. That made two of them.